Hello. Welcome back to Pastor Vic's Nuggets. Before we go on with today's topic, Jesus is the Bread of Life, I want to tell you about some new material that's available on my website. It's called The Pastor's Call. This 8-part series is produced by WorldMap. And let me quote the lead-in on the series. The Pastor's Call is an incredible teaching about one's call to ministry. Dr. Vic Torres explains who calls you, the challenges involved, understanding what the work of the ministry is, and how essential the Holy Spirit is, and the goal and the true purpose for those that are called into the ministry. And so it's available on my website. That's pastorvic.com. And I hope you like it, and I hope it is helpful to you, especially for those who are thinking about the ministry or perhaps new to the ministry as well. But let's go on with today's subject. As we continue to look at the difference between the gospel and discipleship, we realize that the lines between the two are somewhat easily blurred. So let's refocus on the difference between the gospel and discipleship. The gospel is the good news about what Jesus accomplished on the cross of Calvary. Jesus accomplished the following. Number one, our salvation, which means that we are part of the kingdom of God now. We have access to heaven now, and we will experience eternal life with Jesus in the future. In comparison, discipleship is about how to live our lives now, so that God can work through us to touch a lost and dying world. We are spiritually born through the gospel message and have the Holy Spirit living in us. Having the Holy Spirit means that we have access to the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Our worldview or perspective in life is now through the eyes of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We no longer live for ourselves, but we now live for Jesus. And the evidence of that new life is that we demonstrate love for one another. Our spiritual citizenship is heaven, which is much more important than our physical citizenship, because that which is physical or temporal, as the Bible calls it, will pass away, but that which is spiritual is eternal. Now today we're going to look at the phrase that Jesus used to describe himself. He said, "I am the bread of life." The term "I am the bread of life" is the first of 7 I am statements that are found uniquely in the Gospel of John. The significance of the phrase "I am" can be found in the book of Exodus, when God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush encounter. The Lord gave Moses his assignment to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. Moses protested at first because he looked at his own insignificance. It's then that the Lord promised that he would be with Moses and that the Israelites would believe that Moses was sent by God. We see this in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you." When the Lord said, "I am," he was saying, "I am the ever-existent one," meaning the Lord who has no beginning and has no end. So when Jesus said that "I am the bread of life," he was indicating that he was the Christ or the Messiah, the Son of God. In the Gospel of John, there are 7 I am statements. The first is, "I am the bread of life." That's in John 6:35, 41, and 48, as well as 51. As bread sustains physical life, so Christ offers and sustains spiritual life. The second is, "I am the light of the world." That's John 8:12. To a world lost in darkness, Christ offers himself as a guide. 3, "I am the door of the sheep," John 10, verses 7 and 9. Jesus protects his followers as a shepherd watches over their flocks from predators. 4, "I am the resurrection and the life," John 11, 25. Death is not the final word for those who are in Christ. The fifth is, I am the good shepherd. That's John 11 and 14. Jesus is committed to caring and watching over those who are his. Six, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's John 14, 6. Jesus is the source of all truth and knowledge about God. And finally, seven, I am the true vine. That's John 15, verses 1 and 5. By attaching ourselves to Christ, we enable his life to flow in and through us. And then we can't help but bear fruit that will honor the Father. So getting back to I am the bread of life. So what does Jesus mean when he says, I am the bread of life? Well, what Jesus means is that we will never be spiritually satisfied until we know him. You see, bread is symbolic, and it's always represented what's known as the staff of life. In other words, that nourishment which is necessary for life. Recall that bread was a gift from God when the Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. It was called manna, the manna which fell down from heaven. It was sustenance and provision which was then converted into bread. In the Old Testament, the bread, the staff of life, was used in the worship of God, mainly in the tabernacle, and then later when the temple was built. You see, the bread symbolized the I am, or the eternal presence of God. That's Exodus 25 and 30, as well as Leviticus 24, 5 through 9. The manna, or the bread, was so important that an omer, a particular amount of it, was placed inside the Ark of the Covenant. And we see that in Exodus 16, beginning in 32. Even the bread for our present day communion signifies the body of Jesus, which was broken for us. He took on all of our sin, our iniquity, our rebellion, our disease, our grief, and our shame. The wine or the grape juice represents his blood, which was shed to establish a new covenant. I talked about this in the last post. It brought the forgiveness of sins and set us apart for holiness, or in other words, for his purposes. The bread, of course, also symbolizes the word of God, the Bible, which is spiritual food for us as we read God's word. We grow, we are nurtured by it. So now let's set the stage now for Jesus' statement of, I am the bread of life, found in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 begins with the feeding of the 5,000 with 5 barley loaves and 3 fishes. And remember, they end up with 12 baskets of fragments or leftovers. What a miracle that was. And as a side note, we need to realize that Jesus asked the disciples to feed the multitude of people when they had nothing to give. But this was a test of their faith in him. You see, how often do we face tests or difficulties in our lives in everyday experiences? And what God wants us to do is to turn to Jesus. In any case, that evening, the disciples crossed the Sea of Galilee after feeding the 5,000 without Jesus. And remember, the scriptures say that Jesus came later walking on the sea to the disciples' amazements. When the 5,000 who were fed the loaves and fishes realized where Jesus had gone, the scriptures say that they followed across the sea to be with him. Now you have to realize that Jesus knew that many of the disciples that followed him across the Sea of Galilee followed him simply looking for more free food. They weren't looking for spiritual food. They were looking for bread to eat. And that's why Jesus said in John 6, beginning in verse 26, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and you were filled. Jesus then says, do not labor for the food which perishes, but the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. The crowd then responds by saying, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him, meaning Jesus, in himself, whom he sent. And And then the followers, you know, again, they're not getting it. So the followers respond, and they want proof or signs that Jesus is from God. Beginning in verse 30, it said, the scriptures say that what signs will you perform then that we may see it and then believe in you? Then Jesus says to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to this world. And isn't that what Jesus came for? To give life to this world. And then the crowd shout, give us bread always. In verse 15, Jesus then says, I am the bread of life. They were looking for physical bread, and Jesus was giving them spiritual bread, which would flow on into eternity. He then goes on to say, he who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. That's wonderful news, knowing that Jesus will never turn his back on us. Then Jesus goes on in verse 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it all up on the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So you might ask, well, what's the point of this episode in Jesus' life? It should be clear that many come to Jesus looking for what Jesus can provide or what Jesus can give and miss who Jesus is. He is God in the flesh. And those who come to him with that understanding have the most important gift, eternal life, or what we commonly call as salvation. While all the promises of God for hope and health and wholeness are important, nothing is more important than knowing that after this life is over, we pass on to be with Jesus in heaven forever. Now, after these statements by Jesus, the words tells us that many walk away. Many of the early followers of Jesus had a problem with what Jesus was saying about himself, that he was the bread of life. However, Jesus doesn't apologize. He doesn't try to soften the truth. But because while in the Jewish synagogue, he states something very powerful in beginning in verse 53. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's a promise. And then in 55, for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. So he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him, where we all become one. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are now dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Now, you know, many of his early disciples couldn't accept these strong and challenging words. They viewed these words in a literal sense. They were, when in fact Jesus was speaking in a symbolic sense, very much like a parable. You may have heard the expression, you are what you eat. And that's a proverbial saying, and what it really means is that to be physically fit and healthy, you need to eat good food. In the same sense, Jesus was saying that to be spiritually healthy, you need to have Jesus in you. This reminds me of an encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus in John chapter 3, beginning in verse 3. You remember this. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And listen to what Nicodemus says. Then Nicodemus answered Jesus and said, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? You see, Nicodemus took Jesus' words literally instead of understanding that Jesus was speaking about being spiritually born again. In the same way, many misunderstood Jesus' meaning and they turned away from the Lord. John 6, beginning in verse 66, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went and walked with him no more. Then verse 67 says, then Jesus said to the 12 that followed, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. See, the focus is eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Here you see that Peter and the apostles at that time understood Jesus was speaking in spiritual terms. Knowing Jesus in a true sense is not through human logic, but it's by personal revelation. Jesus made this clear when the apostle Peter rightly recognized him as the Christ, the Son of God, in Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13. And it states, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? And so they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then Jesus asked a very pointed question, which is a question that every one of us must answer. He says, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ. That means Messiah, the Savior, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, this is important, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but by my Father who is in heaven. You see, there's a big difference between knowing about Jesus and having a personal relationship with Jesus. Knowing Jesus in this manner means that you've had a personal revelation. God spoke to you and revealed the truth that Jesus is the Christ or the Messiah. And having this knowledge means that you have taken of the bread of life and he lives in you. I hope this message encourages you. I hope this message blesses you. And I hope you will share this message with others. So let me take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every listener. And I just ask that you would just bless them mightily with your truth, that you would give them personal revelation, not only about Jesus, but about the kingdom of God, which we live in right now. We don't have to wait for heaven, but we can have heaven right here on earth. So Lord, just bless every listener. Just cause them to prosper financially. Cause them to prosper in their health and prosper in their relationships as they represent you. Thank you. God bless you. We'll see you the next time.